Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening and open up to Hebrews chapter number 11 in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter number 11 in the Word of God this evening. And I remember reading a book several years back, Signs of a Healthy Church. And in one of those chapters, it really talked about one of the signs of a healthy church is a church that has all age groups serving the Lord. And what I love about the services this evening is you have those that are kind of middle age, and Ben and Kristen and Miss Liz and others who are playing and leading. You have Cole and Reagan, two teenagers. Does it thrill your heart to see young people serving? Amen. And well, that was very good. Some of you do, some of you don't. How many like to see young people serving? Amen. Young people, we do. We're just not awake yet, or trying to look up where Hebrews is. We love seeing young people serve. Then you have the Fishers, who are a little bit older than Cole and Reagan, and they're up here singing. And boy, I just love that the unity of the church is that we can all be involved, and we can all sing, and we can all worship, and we can all praise, and we can just come together and love our Savior. Well, this morning was really incredible, and the Lord was at work, and our Sunday school classes, and then in the morning service, God just worked in a great way. And you know what I love is at 6 o'clock on Sunday evenings, we come back and we get to dive in really to God's Word. We really get to kind of dig in and begin to learn. Okay, we got some really some milk this morning. Now let's get some meat this evening. And if you're visiting with us tonight on Sunday nights, we've been in a series now. It's a wise investment. And this is really part five of that series that we've been going through, looking at different investments that you and I can make in our lives. And tonight I want to once again look at this passage of scripture here in Hebrews chapter number 11. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Let's look at just one verse tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11. And would you look with me at verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. The Bible says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, what's the substance of things hoped for? Faith. The evidence of things not seen. This evening, we once again want to dive into unshakable faith. We begin to look at this, really kind of laying out this passage of scripture last week. And this week, want to continue along those lines, looking at unshakable faith in the life of a believer. Let's go to him in prayer tonight. Father, I'm thankful, Lord, I mean this, Savior, for a group of people who come and are ready to listen and tune in. Father, it truly is amazing to see what you're doing in the lives of each and every believer that's here. And Father, I'm thankful for those who can't be with us tonight but are tuned in via live stream. Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd be with them this evening as they take out the word of God and as they listen and as they tune in. Father, I'm asking, Lord, for just a blessing tonight upon this church, that, Father, as we continue to invest, Lord, in eternity, that, Lord, we would see those dividends one day. Help us to stay focused and concentrated. And, Father, I'm thankful for the visitors who are here tonight on a Sunday night especially, but, Lord, also those who are faithful each and every week. Lord, may we grow tonight. We love you. In your son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Over the last several weeks, we've been looking at the subject of investment. We've been looking at different subjects in the Word of God that you and I ought to be investing in. We saw in the first week investing in our children. And then we begin to look at investing in our own lives, us personally. What can we do with what God has given us? And each and every one of us gifted in different ways. One was received one talent, one two, and one five. And how they went out and invested those talents was very important, you know, when their master returned. But then over the 2 weeks ago, we began to look at even the investment of money and the principle of tithe that is laid out for us in the Word of God. And as I said last week, I'm going to say it again this week, not just the, hey, you have to, and man, you better give, and if you don't give, bad things are going to happen to you. But no, I think oftentimes we've missed this is the incredible blessing that you and I receive when we cheerfully give to the Lord what is already His. And that investment that we get in return truly is great. But as we look at these subjects, we begin to ask the question, how do we accomplish this? How is it, now watch again, in the Christian life, now that I think about it, don't lose me here, but really, doesn't it seem almost parents? Doesn't it seem almost like teenagers, Christians tonight? Doesn't it seem like God in His Word has given us some things that are very hard to accomplish? It's very hard. It almost seems insurmountable at times. The things that God has given us in His Word that you and I are to live by. And when I say live by, I mean principles that are based upon the Word of God. And give to the poor. Turn the other cheek. Are you kidding me? Love our enemies? That seems impossible. Win the world to Christ. The Great Commission. That is 7-8 billion people in the world. How are we ever supposed to accomplish this? Not to mention giving back 10% of what is ours, what we've worked for. Did God not realize when He wrote the Word of God that 2022 was going to be here? It's hard to live for the kingdom of God. It's hard to live thinking about only heaven. It's hard to just be truly, let's get down to it. Let's be honest. It's hard just concentrating on what's to come. We've got here and we've got now and we've got a life to live and we've got vacations and we've got work and we've got a family and we've got entertainment and we are, as Americans, we are so blessed and yet, man, let's seek ye first the kingdom of God. Doesn't it almost seem impossible to live by what God wants us to live by, to live doing what God wants us to do? I mean, how are we going to accomplish this? Well, here's how we do it. The Bible says faith. You see, faith is what is going to carry you and I. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Everyone has faith and exercises faith in almost every moment of life. I'm not going to lay it out again, but go back and listen to last week's message. Everybody in here has something in common. All of us, no matter what age group you are, we all have something in common. That is faith. We live by it. Every one of us, whether it's trusting the architect in here, and we talked about sitting down in a chair, or going to the doctor, or going to a pharmacist, taking a pill that's prescribed. We don't know what's in it. We don't know. It's just this little white pill. They all look the same, and we swallow it down. And everybody lives by faith. Faith, check it out, is the common denominator of life. No one can live a single day without exercising faith. Faith in men. Faith in circumstances, faith in doctors, faith in family, faith in a car, faith in a traffic light. Faith, like, we can go all the way through and comprehend. All of us live by faith. But then we begin to see that salvation is of the same principle. God has thus made it available to all men everywhere. What's that? Salvation. Watch out. Without regard to education or physical ability or social status or national origin or native talent, everybody has faith. Therefore, when we look at faith, it is that common denominator. But what lives, what keeps you and I from living by faith? I'm talking about solely reliant upon it. What is it? Think about it for a moment. Okay, if we're going to go through life and we're good and okay, we get it. We're going to live our life by faith that, okay, we can tithe, that we can invest, that we can give our kids, our grandkids to Christ. Okay, great. How are we going to do that? Faith. Woo, good, great, got it. Okay, but what keeps us really from living by unshakable faith? All of us have had our faith shook at some time or another. It's called the ebb and flow of life. It's called circumstances. There are times and seasons that come into our life that seem unfair and it's hard. And when we look at what God's given us, at times it's very difficult to carry out those tasks that God has given us. So what stops you and I from living by faith? Well, the main thing that really, truly, that we're going to concentrate on this evening, that Satan is using, especially in our culture and our society, is this. Are you ready for it? It's fear. Fear is what keeps you and I from living or stops you and I that in that moment that is tough, in that moment where man, it's we can't see ahead. The storm is here. What happens in a marriage? What happens in raising kids? What happens in trusting God? Well, here's what is the main killer of that faith is fear. Everyone has something that we are afraid of. If we're around the room tonight, I'm sure we could all answer that question. So let's do it. What are you afraid of? You just thought of it. What is it in your life that you say, I know, I'm afraid of it. Brother Brian, you're whispering to your wife, so what'd you just say? What's your main fear? Nothing? Oh, this message is for you, my friend. Okay, comrade, Roberto, what's the main fear of yours? Oh, my word. Come on, people, help me out. Go ahead.
Losing my family in a car accident.
Losing your family in a car accident. Brother Mike. Confined spaces. Gavin. Heights, okay? Let's see, Brother Josh, Brother Gear. Oh, you're just a man's man. You're just not afraid of anything, are you, John Wayne? Okay, understand this. All of us have fear, okay? I'm thinking with you, John. All of us have fear. There's fear of spiders, fear of snakes, fear of heights, small spaces. Like, if we start to really think, there are areas in our life in which all of us would say, okay, now that you say that, okay, I got it. I was really overthinking it. But all of us have fear. There are two types of fear. There is a fear that is a good kind of fear. It's not the fear that we're talking about where you're afraid of health or losing your health or losing friends or loneliness or some of us are afraid of snow or driving in snow, and I can point them out tonight. Look, okay, it's not that type of fear. There is a good type of fear. There's a good kind of fear that keeps you and I driving the speed limit, not 100 miles an hour in a neighborhood. There's a good kind of fear that when we go to lift something, we're going to be careful. That fear of hurting our body or our back or lifting stuff. There's something else that keeps us from doing something foolish, the things that we can think of. But then there is also the fear that is harmful. In the Word of God, the Bible refers to it like this. It is the spirit of fear. Now, if you begin to study fear, psychologists tell us that we are born, everybody is born with two fears. And there's other fears we have in our life. Let's just be honest tonight, and I'd say that it's mostly ladies, but I know there's some guys. How many are really afraid of spiders? You don't like spiders. Would you raise your hand, okay? Raise your hand. Go ahead, raise it real high. Mostly women, I would say a couple of guys, spiders. Spiders don't bother me. Now, how many are afraid of snakes? Raise your hand. Afraid of snakes, even more. Amen. God bless you. We are getting somewhere. No wonder God's blessing this church. Okay, there's fear that we understand that I'm not afraid of snakes. I'm not afraid of spiders. I'm not, to be honest with you, Mike, I'm not afraid really of tight spaces. I've been in a couple caves where it's been, you got to let all your breath out to be able to get through. Like, it doesn't bother me that much, but it might bother Brother Mike. But I'm afraid of snakes where Brother Mike's like, I can hold them. I can do it. It doesn't bother me. But everybody, psychologist tells us, everyone is born with two fears. Are you ready for this? There is the fear of falling, and there is the fear of loud noises. Every other fear in a human being is learned, which means every other fear in our life can be unlearned. Faith is unlearning all your fears until all that's left is a fear of God. Faith is what has to be inputted into an individual's life that you and I begin to experience what the real release of this bondage of fear is like. Many of us have fears, and there's two really main fears that keep us from living the normal Christian life. There's many others, but there's really two in the subject of fear. A sub-subject would be this. This is what we on the spiritual realm really wrestle with. It is the fear of failure. You see, the fear of failure causes many to never start or to try something that they know they ought to be trying. It's the fear of failure that keep many back from really living a gospel-centered life. It's the fear of failure that caused many to not dive into a principle that's been laid out for the Word of God. If I do that and I fail, well, then I'm a failure. And if I try this, and even what we've been talking about, it's that fear of if I give my kids to the Lord, what if they don't turn out? What if they don't do what all these other kids are doing? What if they don't go to this college? What if they don't attend church? I'm just going to hold back. What if I really try tithing? What if I really try giving to the Lord and it doesn't work out and Visa or MasterCard, they keep writing me, and man, I got to file bankruptcy. Like it's this constant battle with our mind. One author said it like this: if you succeed at the wrong thing, you failed. If you fail at the right thing, you've succeeded. Watch now. Just as courage is not the absence of fear, success is not the absence of failure. That, simply put, is this: if you don't try, you're going to miss out. If you and I have this fear that's constantly upon us, this fear of failure, there's going to come a moment in our life where we have that what if moment. What if I would have stepped out by faith? What if I would have started giving? What if I would have trained my child? What if I would have been involved? What if I would have gone on that mission trip? What if I would have married that person? What if I fill in the blank? There are many that come to the third and fourth quarter of their life. And if there was ever a fear in my life, I'm just going to put it out there tonight. It is those moments. That fear that if I could just go back to 2022 and if I could just do it over, I would have never missed that opportunity. I would have just stepped out by faith. I would have just talked to that person about the Lord. I would have, look, I don't want to have a what if moment. There's a lot of teenagers in this room. You're going to fail. There's things that you're going to do that does not work out. That's okay. You're trying. There's things that Pastor Blake, I saw you just a moment ago. Pastor Blake, where'd you go? Raise your hand just there. Say, Pastor Blake is our youth pastor. Pastor Blake's going to do some things that we're going to try. You know what? Not all of them might not be successful. Here in a couple weeks, we're going to go out and canvass as a church. You know, since 2020 and COVID, a lot of churches just don't door knock anymore. It's just not a way that we get out the gospel. Times have changed and things have changed. Well, bless God. Look, I'm not arguing tonight. There's a lot of ways that we can get the gospel out in our community. But you know what? Here, right before revival, I told Pastor Ann, let's just try it. Let's get some maps. Let's hand it out. Say, well, I've got young kids. Bring your young kids with you. Go and knock these doors. And let's just pass out and invite people to come to a revival service. We may come to the revival service and no one came. But we tried. Fear of failure is what holds a lot of Christians back. Watch up here. A fear of failure is why there are many in their 60s and 70s and 80s that get to the end of their life and they look back at, man, what if I would have? What if I would have surrendered? What if I would have stayed? What if I would have? No, you and I cannot allow that fear to get a hold of us, and that fear of failure especially. Why? Because it will hold you and I back. Not only the fear of failure, but there's also the fear of rejection. The fear of rejection makes us afraid to do anything that would draw criticism. No, nobody likes criticism. It's not a person here that's like, yes, I just love criticism, even constructive criticism. Should we take it? Absolutely. Should we listen to it? Without a doubt. But nobody just eats it up like, ooh, I just love it. No. When there is that fear of rejection, that fear that makes us afraid to do anything that would draw that criticism or give someone a chance to laugh at us. But friend, that is contrary from Genesis to Revelation of what this Bible talks about. Fear of rejection is going to hold us back. We're supposed to be charging the gates of hell. You and I are the church of the living God. You and I have Christ that goes before us. You and I have a shield of faith. You and I have a sword. A sword is the word of God. You and I can't be afraid of rejection. You think about the Word of God. I'm sure that sometimes in the Word of God, there were those that I would say, Brother Mancroni, they actually looked pretty foolish in what they were doing. You think about Noah. Noah looked foolish building an ark in the desert with nothing. No one ever heard of rain before. You talk about somebody that was mocked. Sarah looked foolish buying maternity clothes at age 90. David looked foolish attacking a giant with a slingshot. Can you imagine the amount of soldiers that were cracking up laughing, even quite embarrassed for David? The wise men looked foolish following a star. Peter looked foolish stepping out of a boat in a storm in the water on the Sea of Galilee. The other 11 are sitting there like, oh my word, are you going to do this? Thomas is like, no, I doubt it. I mean, Mark's right there and I got to write this down. Like, I mean, there's no, nobody's wanting to step out of the boat. He looked foolish. The children of Israel looked foolish walking around the walls of Jericho. Friend, but that is faith. Faith is the willingness to look foolish. And the results, if we look at the word of God, friend, they speak for themselves. But oh, fear entraps us. You see, Satan has a toolbox. Those devices that Satan uses, they really don't change very often from generation to generation because he's very successful in the tools that he uses on Christians. Satan's toolbox is really the master at using circumstances and situations to get Christians in stopping from doing what you and I have been commanded to do. You see, Satan is the enemy. And the enemy comes to steal our joy. And the enemy comes to kill our dreams. And the enemy comes to destroy our life. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. When the fear comes into our life, when you and I say, okay, I want to step out. I want to do this. All of a sudden, fear steps in, and fear comes in, man. I just, hey, well, that's for somebody else. Somebody else got to go to the mission field. Somebody else has got to, yeah, somebody else has got to give in that offering, and somebody else got to play the piano, and somebody else. No, hold on. When Satan begins to use that fear in our lives, there are several things that come about from that fear, whether it be a fear of rejection or whether it be fear of stepping out by faith. There are several things, that take place in our life when we allow fear to win. You see, fear will make our lives miserable. No, it'll make our lives miserable. Fear causes worry. And worry does no good. I'm gonna put it this way. Worry is a complete waste of time. It does us no good. We used to call them worry warts. I don't know what the next generation calls them, but it's somebody who's just, it's this person that's just always worried. Have you ever, you don't have to raise your hand, but have you ever met somebody that just worries over everything? They just worry. I'm worried about the weather. I'm worried about, is my car going to start? I'm worried about the bills. I'm worried about my marriage. I'm worried about my grandkids. I'm worried about Ukraine. I'm worried about this. Their entire lives are filled with worry. Now, hold on. We've explained this before. Worry is not the same as concern. A concern moves you to action. Worry is a complete waste of time. I'm worried about my kids, okay? It's not going to do anything. Concern for your kids moves you to action. It pushes you to do something. I'm concerned with the way their behavior is, so let's correct that. I'm concerned with the finances. Worries is that they're, oh, how am I going to pay my bills? I just don't know. Oh, Lord, just let me win the lottery this week because I'm just so worried. No, that doesn't do anything. Concern pushes you and I to do something. Get a job, get a raise, get a second job, whatever it is. Concern moves to action. Worry is a complete waste of time. And I'm going to put it this way. Are you ready for this? Not everybody wants to hear this, and that's quite all right. Worrisome people are miserable. They're miserable to be around, and they're miserable people. Nobody wants to be around them. Why? They just constantly, I'm just so worried. And you see them coming. I mean, look, it's not, and I'm not going to say it's me, but I'm saying a lot of people in this room can see people who worry all the time, and they're coming down this lane, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my word, let's go this way. You don't dare ask a person who worries all the time how they're doing. Now, that's not in the Word of God. That's free tonight, but I'm just going to go ahead and give it to you. Because you're going to get a dissertation on everything that is wrong with them. We allow fear to take over. We allow worry to take over. We live a really miserable life. And there are Christians across this nation today that 2 years of pandemic hit, and they are miserable today because they're constantly concerned with a virus and a sickness. Now, hold on. Pastor, you're saying it's not real? No, I'm not saying that. Is this the hydrectum versus this and this COVID, this test, and you need your booster shot? Nope, I have no idea. You talk to your doctor about that. But I'm telling you this, God did not design you and I to be holed up into our house, afraid of every sickness and afraid of every cold and virus and flu. And let me tell you something, friend. I'm just gonna break it to you tonight. Just get ready. You ready for this? Everybody's going to die if God doesn't come back. I'm going to die. I hope God gives me a long life. I really enjoy life. But let me tell you something. If God doesn't come back, eventually I'm going to be buried. I can't fear death because I'm going to heaven. Fear is not, can't drive in a car. I can't get an airplane. What if it falls? I can't start my car. What if it blows up? I can't eat Cheerios because, what if there's yellow five in it? I can't drink Diet Coke because aspartame. And we worry and we concern. And all of a sudden, we are withering away in our house doing nothing for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm just gonna be honest with you. That is a miserable way to live. Take care of ourselves? Absolutely. Yesterday, I've been trying to, Brother Bryce, work on my health a little bit, and I'm starting to walk a little bit more. But to be honest with you, yesterday's at that youth conference, youth rally. Youth rallies, they never eat good. It's always pizza. And they had these things called Twinkies that were there. I was like, manna from heaven, baby. I'm telling you, I had two. I'm going to live my life. It may give me a heart attack, and I about sweated bullets preaching this morning, but those Twinkies were worth it, man. I'm here to tell you. Miserable. Fear will also make our lives ineffective. You go this week and you begin to read the book of Jonah. Jonah in chapter number 1, and verse number 1 simply just states this. Now the word of Lord came to Jonah the son, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. He's given a command. Hey, Jonah, wake up. Here's what I want you to do. And for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up. Here's what the Bible says. Jonah fled. He went to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah said, no, thank you. I'm not going to Nineveh. No way am I. I'm not going to go there. I'm gonna be skinned alive. Those people are crazy. Those people are mean. They're bullies. They're honestly, in the word of God, they're brutish. And he gets in a boat, goes the opposite way, thinking that he can outrun the presence of God. You see, fear in our life will make us ineffective. Many times in our life, we don't share our faith with somebody because of fear. How many times have we sat beside somebody in the pharmacy or in the hospital, or we've been in line with them at in Walmart? And man, have you ever had the Holy Spirit begin to tell you, hey, witness to that person? Mm-mm. No, sir. No, I want you. They're right there. They turn around. They smile. How you doing? I'm good. It's a beautiful day. Why? Fear. Fear that you and I might be rejected. What will they think of me? What if they get mad? No, this is, God, this is Target. This is hardly the place for telling somebody about you. Holy Spirit, stop. And all of a sudden, we become ineffective. Oftentimes, local church, let me tell you, fear will keep you and I from doing what God wants us to do. Teach a Sunday school class. Sit at a welcome center table. Join the choir. I think, honestly, it's almost a shame that we can keep fear from us truly serving God. Let me tell you something. I know the Fishers came up here and sang tonight. What I appreciate about an older generation is there's an older generation that's gone before us. Man, they're not stopping. You know, Pastor Defoe, truly, in all honesty, and I know he's here tonight, and I don't want to embarrass him, but I'm going to just say it this way. The man pastored for decades, thousands of hours of counseling, a discipling, thousands of hours, I would say, in door knocking. I can't tell you the thousands of hours in preparation and the thousands of hours in standing behind a pulpit. And I'm telling you, there's a man and there is his wife who have put in the time, but they're still faithful to church. They still sing in the choir. They still get involved in Sunday school classes. I'm going to tell you this. It could have been a stroke that Pastor Folk has said, you know what? I have the fear that maybe people won't trust me or can't hear me. And so, you know what? I'm just going to throw in the towel. I'm just going to give up. I'm done. I'm telling you, friend, I am thankful for a man and his wife that will show the next generation that we cannot allow fear of anything to get in the way of us serving God. I am thankful for Cole, and I am thankful for Reagan. That fear could have kept them from coming up here. If I had to ask them, I said, Cole, y'all singing tonight? I thought they were going to sing a special. And Reagan said, no, we are not singing tonight. But I'm thankful that they had enough courage to get up here on the piano. And maybe they missed a couple notes. I couldn't tell you. I'm not a musician. Or maybe they didn't. It doesn't matter. I'm thankful that we have not only an older generation, but we've got a younger generation that's saying, Satan, I don't care. I don't care if rejection. I don't care if I mess up. I don't care if I get it perfect. I don't care. I'm not going to sit in fear and be ineffective for the Lord Jesus Christ. No, friend, if there was ever a day and age that you and I must stand up and come together and hold the banner high and march for the Lord Jesus Christ, that day is 2022. It's not yesterday and it's not 10 years from now. It is right now, friend. It's today. Yet the fear holds us back. Satan's toolbox of his hindrances makes us ineffective. But you know, God's got a toolbox as well. And his is bigger and his is better and his is very effective. You see, God has helps for you and I. The Bible says, for God hath not given us, you ready for this? The spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. Watch out. And of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us that fear of, oh, I can't live my life. Oh, I can't go here. Oh, what if I fail? Oh, what if I'm rejected? Oh, what if? Oh, I got to worry. Oh, worry. What am I going to do? Where's the next one? Oh, I just am miserable. No. Hold on. Before we just pull out our little notebook, before we just jump on our little Facebook, and all of a sudden we start blaming, you know what? It's God that put me in this circumstance. I'm worried because I know that God's doing something, but I'm here to tell you, and all of a sudden we just lay out all of our worries and all of our fears. No, don't, let's not blame this on God, friend. God has not given us the spirit of fear. How do we overcome that fear then? Well, the Bible puts it like this, but of power. You see, God has given us the gift of power. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. This means that anything God wants you and I to do, we can accomplish it through his power. The Bible says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If you're trusting in, or drawing from, or relying on, or believing in the one who has power, he will give you and I the power that we need. We don't have to be fearful. Why? Because if it's financial, he's given us the, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's if sickness and cancer and viruses. Understand this. You can't scare a Christian with death. We're going home, friend. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're just pilgrims here in a strange land. We're going home one day. All that worry and all that fear and how am I going to get through? How am I going to pass out a tract? How am I going to knock on a door? How am I going to tell my neighbors about Christ? What if my teenager really does volunteer for the Lord's army and wants to go to Africa or Asia, Southeast Asia, Europe? What am I going to do? Here's what we're going to do. We're not going to rely on our power to get through. We're going to rely on his power. We don't have power. Oh, well, we think we're so awesome. I preached that this morning. What are we outside of the grace of God? It's all about his grace. And it's his power that enables you and I to accomplish the things that we accomplish. How do we overcome fear? He said this. He said, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but fear, but of power, watch this, and of love. Now, that's interesting, because power, we're like, okay, God, give me the power, get me through this week, and we comprehend that. But of love, that's weird. But of love, first glance, it does not seem that love could be effective in conquering fear, but we see in 1 John 4:18, the Bible says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made, check it out now, in perfect, in love. How does that work? It's a love for God. The more that you and I love God, the less fear that you and I will have. It's a matter of trust. When you and I realize that God takes care of us, that God loves us, it relieves our fear. Why do you think kids don't fear anything? Kids aren't afraid of this war right now. Although I will say, and I praise the Lord for our Christian teachers at the school here, because Brother Carlson, it is amazing how much my kids are in tune with what's going on around the world. And my little third grader today prayed for those who are in Ukraine almost every day. I think it's Miss Unruh must be filling in that we got to pray for these. And man, I praise the Lord for that. But to get back to, let's just be honest. Our kids are not worried about gas prices going up. Can you believe it's $3.99? We're not talking about anger. We're talking about fear. I'm just getting mad tonight. $3.99, you got to be kidding me. Anyways, let's not get on a political speech here. Let's just keep to the Bible. They're not worried about $3.99 gas. They're talking about even going up even higher. Our utility bills, I don't know if you've noticed, they're higher this year than they were last year. Our heat bill, I know it's been a little bit colder, but it's higher. The day blow. Let's just be honest. Our kids aren't worried about the heat bill. They don't get it. They don't look at it. They don't analyze it. They don't see how many CPUs we use each month. They're not into that. They're not worried about, have you noticed that groceries have gone up astronomically here in the last about 6 months? They're not worried about that. Dirk, your boys aren't. Oh, Mom, how are we going to make it? Is Dad going to give you a bigger budget for food? Because it's gone up 12% in some cases. Now, for those of you raising kids, like, you're with me. I got five of them. Like, it's expensive right now. Tommy has never worried about our food bill. She's never worried about it. Stinking kids, 12 years old and growing like crazy. I'm like, dude, slow down. Like, woo, it's getting a little expensive. But nonetheless, they don't worry about it. You know why? Love. How does that work? They know Mom and Dad love them. And no matter what's going on, we're going to take care of them. Do you see how that fear is settled in the heart of a child? Do you know that we are to have faith like a little child? Well, yeah, in salvation. Hold on. Let's apply this to the love of God. Who cares what's going on in the world? Do you and I not believe what the Word of God says, that He is going to clothe us and He is going to take care of us? He is going to see us through the storm. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Do you understand the love part there? All things work together for good, but they only work together for good to them that love God. Why? How does this fit in? We don't have the spirit of fear. Why? Because we know God loves us and He's going to take care of us. Doesn't matter how high gas goes. Doesn't matter what war is going to break out. Let me just fill you in. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. That's how we know it's coming. That's how we know it's all coming to an end. Magog is going to be part of Russia. They're going to take over. One day, they're going to attack Israel. That's Bible. You can rest on it. It's going to happen. Oh, fear, worry. No, we don't have to. Why? God loves me. He's going to take care of me. Even through cancer, even through death, even through hard circumstances, even through big bills, even through, hold on, do we just worry, fear? Oh, no. God's got power. And He's got love. But you know, the third thing He has in His toolbox, you ready for this? Is a sound mind. You see, a mind that is concentrated on God. Husbands, a mind that is concentrated on the very Word of God. doesn't have the fear that the world has. No, Bert, we're different from the world. Brother Ted, Miss Peggy, we're different from them on the outside. No, we've been given the word of God. And a person who is constantly in the word of God, Brian, let me use your Bible here, constantly in this, comprehend this, this gives you and I a sound mind. Amen. A mind that is able to critically think through the events that are taking place in this world. It's not a worrisome thought of how are we going to get through and how are we going to make it? And, the fear of rejection and the fear of the fear that we're going to make a mistake. And if I step out my faith here, then what if it doesn't work? Then, I'm a failure. No, we're not. A just man falleth seven times and getteth up again. You and I have a Savior that we're looking to. You and I have a perfect word. It is infallible. It is inspired. It is complete. It is the canon of Scripture. It is 66 books from Genesis to Revelation that is done. There is no more revelation. There is nothing else that needs to be added to it. This book is alive. And when we're in His book, more than we are Facebook and Fox News and CNN and our neighbors and on the telephone and all the worries of this world, when we're in His book, you know what it gives you and I as Christians? A sound mind. Amen. To rely on His power and to realize His love. Now, let's be honest. And I'm done. Now, listen. Denny, you can shut your Bible if you want to. If you weren't here this morning, you don't know what I'm talking about. Investments in life, money, time, talent, it could seem overwhelming at times. We might not be the fishers and stand up and sing. Maybe we're not built like Reagan, like Cole to stand up and or to sit down and play the piano. We might not be a pastor, shepherd to preach or a brother Mancroni to lead. That's not us. But all of us in some way or another have been called of God to accomplish tasks that He's given us, Adam. All of us. We do. And if we're not careful, we will allow fear to come into our lives and to waste this little tiny, tiny speck of time. And we miss out. If the average age of a male now is, I think we're from 76 to 78 years old, let's just say around 78 years, if that is the average life of a male, and I'm 38, it's fleeting, it's going fast. Pastor Fitzgerald, just like that, it'll fleet by, it'll be gone. Oh, Brother John Habing, Miss Nancy, before we know it, we'll blink and this life, Brother Drew, it's over. It's done. And we're gone. We can allow fear to overcome our lives and waste this little precious time that we have. Or we can rely on His power and His love and a sound mind. And again, let's go forward. Let's charge. Let's do all we can. Let's step out by faith. Let's do what God has created you and I to do. Let's put the gospel first. With every head bowed and with every eye closed and with no one looking around, would you please stand to your feet? With every head bowed and with every eye closed. With every head bowed and with every eye closed and no one looking around. Friend, in just a moment, Miss Liz is going to begin to play. When she does, I'm going to ask us that maybe tonight, we just, I guess maybe once and for all, just start talking to Him about the deep, dark fears in our life. Parents, can I ask you, when is the last time that we prayed for our kids that God would use them in a great way? Not just worrying about them, but that God would give them the power and love and a sound mind to turn this world upside down. Grandparents, when's the last time we just began to pray for them? God, help them. Lord, let my kids not have fear, but let them go forward for you. Maybe tonight's that night we gather together and pray. When's the last time, Christian, we just got alone with God and said, God, I'm going to admit tonight, I'm scared. Not worry. It's not a concern, God. I worry about things. Then tonight, Lord, I've got to get back to stop letting Satan have that part of me and my mind and wasting time. But tonight, God, I need you. This is real for me, Savior. It's a real fear. God, I need your help to overcome it. How many tonight would just simply say this, Lord, you spoke to my heart tonight.